This is In the News for January 26, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First story today is from Interpress Service News Agency, written by Haider Rizvi. Native group takes land dispute to UN. Feeling cheated and betrayed by Washington for nearly 150 years, a Native American tribe is now looking to the United Nations for help in protecting their ancestral lands. Kerry Dean, a leader of the Shoshone people of the United States, told IPS in an interview about why her people have gone to the UN to demand justice, quote, "Where else do we go?" end quote. Dan and other Shoshone leaders maintain that the U.S. government has used a series of illegal tactics to gain control of their ancestral lands, including seizures of livestock and the imposition of heavy trespass fines. They charge U.S. government with trying to sell or lease their land to big corporations involved in gold mining and other excavations in the area, which has disrupted not only their traditional way of life, but also caused enormous damage to the environment. Last August, Shoshone elders filed a petition with the UN Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination, or CERD, calling for action against the U.S. government for claiming large parts of indigenous lands as federal property. CERD was established under an international human rights treaty called the Convention on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. It prohibits racial discrimination and defines it as a breach of international law. The Shoshone lands cover about 60 million acres in the states of Nevada, Idaho, Utah, and California. These lands, which are known to contain rich reservoirs of gold, also include a proposed national repository for radioactive waste. The U.S. government argues that 90% is quote-unquote public or federally controlled lands. The Shoshone people belong to the Numic branch of the larger Udo-Aztecan language family. In the past two centuries, they also have been identified as quote-unquote snake Indians, according to the Encyclopedia of North American Indians. In their petition to the UN, the Shoshone have argued that the U.S. government has no right to occupy or privatize their ancestral land because the treaty it had signed in 1863 does not allow Washington to do so. The U.S. government maintains that the Shoshone people have lost their rights to ancestral lands, as identified in the treaty, due to, quote-unquote, gradual encroachment by non-Native Americans. But this argument has failed to fully satisfy UN rights officials. Mario Yatsis, chairman of the UN committee, asked the U.S. envoy in Geneva in a letter sent last August, quote, "Has the 1868 Treaty of the Ruby Valley been abrogated in whole or in part, and if so, following which process?" End quote. In 2004, the U.S. government tried to resolve this issue by passing a law known as the Western Shoshone Distribution Act, which allowed Washington to claim large swaths of indigenous lands by financially compensating the Shoshone people. However, the compensation of the tribes is based on the 1872 price for their land and minerals, about 15 cents per acre. Shoshone elders say the land is priceless because it is sacred and central to the survival of their traditions and belief system. Most Shoshone objected to the procedures that led to the passage of the controversial act and refused to accept the money because they believe their ancestral lands are sacred. Joe Kennedy, a Shoshone leader and one of the signatories of the petition, said, quote, "Our traditional laws tell us we are placed here as caretakers of the land. We will not stand idly by and allow the U.S. government to cement its hold on our ancestral land," end quote. For more on this story, go to Interpress Service News Agency at ipsnews.net. Next up, from oneworld.net, also written by Haider Rizvi. Suicide seeds could spell death of peasant agriculture, UN meeting told. Groups fighting for the rights of peasant communities are stepping up pressure on governments to ban the use of genetically modified, quote-unquote, suicide seeds at UN-sponsored talks on biodiversity in Spain this week. Deborah Harry, executive director of the U.S.-based Indigenous Peoples Council on Biocolonialism, said, quote, "This technology is an assault on the traditional knowledge, innovation, and practices of local and indigenous communities," end quote. The group is among organizations urging United Nations experts to recommend that governments adopt tough laws against field testing and selling terminator technology, which refers to plants that have had their genes altered so that they render sterile seeds at harvest. Because of this trait, some activists call terminator products, quote-unquote, suicide seeds. Developed by multinational agribusiness and the U.S. government, terminator has the effect of preventing farmers from saving or replanting seeds from one growing season to the next. The product is being tested in greenhouses throughout the United States. Opponents fear it is likely to be marketed soon unless governments impose a ban. Hope Shand of the Canada-based Action Group on Erosion Technology and Concentration said, quote, Terminator seeds will become a commercial reality unless governments take action to prevent it, end quote. If commercialized, activists said, Terminator would force farmers to return to the market for seeds every year, adding to their annual costs. This would also spell the end of locally adopted agriculture through seed selection because most farmers in the world today routinely save seeds from their harvest for replanting. Harry said, quote, this seed technology is a fundamental violation of the human rights of the indigenous people. It is a breach of the right of self-determination, end quote. Environmental and consumer advocates also have said that genetically modified crops, ranging from Terminator to Roundup Ready varieties designed to survive the heavy-duty herbicide Roundup, offer the promise of fat profits for their developers, marketers, and political supporters while threatening farmers with lean times and consumers with ill health. Says Lucy Charette of the International Ban Terminator Campaign, quote, the promise of increased profit is too enticing for industry to give up on Terminator seeds, end quote. The issue has pitted some governments against their citizens. Canadian government officials at a UN meeting in Bangkok last year pushed for language allowing the field testing and sale of Terminator, but they backed down in response to strong public criticism at home. For their part, biotech companies have enjoyed limited success in trying to influence governments' policies in favor of using Terminator seeds. Their main argument, that Terminator's higher cost is more than compensated for an improved crop yield and quality at the harvest time. Governments generally have distinguished between different types of genetic modification. Many, especially those in industrially developing regions of the world, have resisted pressure from biotechnology industry and the U.S. government and maintain a strong stand against Terminator. There's more on this story at commondreams.org. Again, that was from oneworld.net. And finally, today, a press release from Center for Science and the Public Interest. You can get more information on this release that follows at 202-332-9110. That's 202-332-9110. And again, this is from Center for Science and the Public Interest. It's titled Supplementing Their Income, a Nutrition Action Exposé on How Dr. Weil, Dr. Phil, and Larry King Turn Your Trust into Cash. A folksy popular daytime television host, a legendary radio television interviewer, and a best-selling author and health guru whose familiar bearded face recently appeared on the cover of Time magazine. These three men have one thing in common, according to the cover story in the current issue of Nutrition Action Health Letter. They all use their fame to hawk vitamins, herbs, and other dietary supplements that often rely on inflated claims and dubious or non-existent science. Consumers who buy these products may be overpaying or wasting their money entirely, according to Center for Science and the Public Interest, or CSPI. Dr. Andrew Weil is the nation's best-known proponent of alternative or integrative medicine. His books, speeches, television appearances, and popular websites have made him a trusted household name in health advice. He offers himself to the public and the media as an informed, sensible authority on dietary supplements. Says CSPI senior nutritionist David Shart, quote, but Weil is hardly an objective expert on supplements. The more supplements Weil can persuade consumers to buy, the more he benefits. Consumers should bear that in mind when they listen to his advice, end quote. Weil markets his own brand of 18 vitamin and herb products and is careful to tell consumers that his, quote, after-tax profits go to a foundation that supports integrative medicine, end quote. But he rarely discloses that this is not just a foundation, but his own Weil Foundation, and that its main beneficiary is Weil's own program at the University of Arizona. What's more, CSPI's review of the 2002 to 2004 tax returns for the Weil Foundation, the latest available, found that during those years, the foundation reported no contributions from Weil or his company and awarded only one $5,000 grant. But it's the vast sums of money Weil and his company are being paid to promote dietary supplements that CSPI says would really raise consumers' eyebrows if they knew about it. In 2003, Weil signed a blockbuster five-year deal with a giant online pharmacy drugstore.com that pays Weil's company and his foundation a guaranteed minimum of $12.4 million in sales commissions and donations on dietary supplements and other products he recommends to consumers at his and drugstore.com's websites. In addition, drugstore.com agreed to pay Weil himself $1.6 million in quote-unquote honoraria. This financial arrangement came to light only last summer when the company sued Weil for not promoting their products aggressively enough. David Shart, CSPI from CSPI, said, quote, consumers should know that when they buy any supplements recommended by Andrew Weil on his and drugstore.com's website, Weil's company is collecting a sales commission of up to 25% on every bottle. Even if some of this money eventually trickles down to his foundation, that's still a pretty big incentive to push lots of vitamins and herbs, even where the evidence is dubious, end quote. The other celebrities that CSPI says have leased out their names to companies making iffy claims include Phil McGraw, a.k.a. Dr. Phil, and CNN talk show host Larry King. Dr. Phil recently abandoned a line of expensive dietary supplements in the face of a probe by the Federal Trade Commission. Dr. Phil's shape-up pills were said to contain, quote, scientifically researched levels of ingredients that can help you change your behavior to take control of your weight, end quote. Dr. Phil is being sued by California consumers who accuse him, correctly in CSPI's view, of making false and misleading statements about his supplements. And over the years, CNN's King has done first-person paid testimonials for a wide range of substances, including garlic pills, quote, the one to trust, said King, and coral calcium, which, quote, has changed my life and could change yours, end quote. Recently, King has been promoting Ester C, which CSPI says is an overhyped brand of vitamin C that is twice as expensive as regular vitamin C. CSPI senior nutritionist David Shart said, quote, either Larry King has a knack for picking weak products to pitch or manufacturers seek him out to lend credibility to supplements that could use some, end quote. While McGraw and King did not respond to Nutrition Action Health Letters' requests for interviews despite repeated attempts. Again, that is from Center for Science in the Public Interest. You can get a hold of them at 202-332-9110. And that story was taken from commondreams.org. This has been In the News for January 26, 2006. I'm Scott Bergwin from KSOW LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We'll talk to you next time.